London was a ghost town. The evacuation order had blared from every television screen, every radio, every web page and cell phone. In droves, the capital's populace fled toward the hoped-for safety of the home counties. And now, an eerie kind of stillness was spreading from the city in the wake of the black fire smoke. In the dead of night, the absence of noise lingered in the air. London had been silenced, a city of more than 8 million people emptied in less than a day. But when there was a sound, it carried. The skirl of RAF jets circling high, the faint and irregular rumble of buildings collapsing, and now and then animalistic shrieks echoed off the low cloud. Sounds made by unnatural things, things with lungs the size of football pitches, and throats wider than railway tunnels. All this was pushed to the back of Hannah Brooke's mind as she opened the door of the prefabricated hut where the rest of India 99's flight crew gathered. Like her, they had all been wearing their midnight blue jumpsuits too long, and were all caught in that place between fatigue and nervous energy. Predictably, there was something resembling an argument in progress, as Sergeants Dillon and Bramwell shot each other hard looks over styrofoam cups of strong, dark builder's tea. Patel and Haynes, the two observers, looked on and said nothing. No one had heard her enter, so Brooke hesitated in the shadows by the door, listening. The folded map she held in her hand crumpled as her fingers tightened of their own accord.
"Bollocks!"
Dillon said, with his characteristic grimace. He ran a hand over his shaven head, shaking it. Thick-set and glowering, out of uniform, he might have looked like some thuggish hooligan straight off the terraces, but in the Metropolitan Police Service colours, he was more the immovable object that had cowed many a criminal in taking an easier option.
"You're having a laugh."
Bramwell folded his arms.
"You think anyone is up for joking right now?"
He was a total contrast to the other man, whipcord thin and a head taller than Dillon, smooth where the other sergeant was rough.
"Look at that."
He jerked his thumb at the television in the corner of the room, still tuned to the same rolling news coverage it had been showing since they arrived.
"That's happening, Rob. That's real."
Patel cleared his throat politely. The young man was a recent transfer to the air support unit, with them for less than a month from the regular force, and his dark face was filmed with sweat.
"I think people would know if it wasn't true."
The strain in his voice was clear. Like all of them, like everyone on the bloody planet, he was struggling to get his head around what was happening.